Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So many things are going on. We're going to get right to it today. I guess you heard recently, maybe you didn't, but in regards to the radical jihadism and all the things that are going on in the nation and the world today and what we're seeing in the Middle East and the rise of this ISIS and ISIL and Hezbollah and all these different, you know, organizations, you know, basically referred to by some sources as the militant arm of, you know, Islam or the Muslim Brotherhood. And so, you know, we're wanting to be able to defeat this enemy of human beings, of mankind, of America. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, they beheaded, you know, Christians, 21 Christians in the Tripoli Shores we talked about, and they just kidnapped and took like 200 Christians reportedly or allegedly in Syria, and they're threatening to do the same thing. And of all the things that our State Department, in other words, the department which Hillary Clinton used to be over, but presently John Kerry is over, he's Secretary of State, his representative, what he said was that she said that we need to continue to do the physical battle part, but we need to just get them jobs. If they had jobs, then they wouldn't be involved in this jihadist, this radical jihadist activity, quote, holy war, or wanting to behead folks. You know, what they need is a job. As a matter of fact, I want you to see Mary Harf right now saying this so you can see what I'm talking about.
Marie Harf is with the American State Department. Marie, this is getting close. And I think the Italians, you know, who had some land in Northern Africa over the years before, are beginning to feel them at their curbside now. And what do we do as Americans when we look at 21 Christians beheaded for the purposes of humiliating us, the Christian world, the Western world? It's aimed at us, those pictures.
Well, I think it just underscores for people that this isn't just a fight in Iraq and in Syria, and that it's not just a fight about dropping bombs on terrorists. It's really how we stop the causes that lead to extremism in a place like Libya. The fact that there's no governance and there's no opportunity for young people, it lets groups like ISIL grow there and flourish there, which is what you saw with this awful situation with these Egyptians that you just mentioned. But this is a longer fight. It's fighting them on social media. Like you just said, these videos they produce are very technical. They're using social media to get converts to their cause and to spread their hatred all over the world. This week, we're going to have over 60 countries here in Washington to talk about how we combat this violent extremism together in the long term, not just in this short term fight.
Well, how do we win? How do we stop this? I don't see it. I see the militias from the Shia militias coming out of Baghdad who are all Shia. The Sunnis hate them. The Sunnis are loyal to ISIS rather than going in with the Shia. You've got the Kurds, the Jordanian Air Force, and now the Egyptian Air Force. But I don't see any. If I were ISIS, I wouldn't be afraid right now. I didn't figure there's no existential threat to these people. They can keep finding places where they can hold executions and putting the camera work together, getting their props ready, and killing people for show. And nothing we do right now seems to be directed at stopping this.
Well, I think there's a few stages here. Right now, what we're doing is trying to take their leaders and their fighters off the battlefield in Iraq and in Syria. That's really where they flourish.
Are we killing enough of them?
We're killing a lot of them, and we're going to keep killing more of them. So are the Egyptians, so are the Jordanians. They're in this fight with us. But we cannot win this war by killing them. We cannot kill our way out of this war. We need, in the longer term, medium and longer term, to go after the root causes that leads people to join these groups, whether it's lack of opportunity for jobs.
Well, we're not going to be able to stop that in our lifetime or 50 lifetimes. There's always going to be poor people. There's always going to be poor Muslims. And as long as there are poor Muslims, the trumpet's blowing, they'll join. We can't stop that, can we?
We can work with countries around the world to help improve their governance. We can help them build their economy so they can have job opportunities for these people. You're right. There is no easy solution in the long term to preventing and combating violent extremism. But if we can help countries work.
So you're looking at the State Department saying, yes, what we need is to improve their economies. We need to get them jobs. See, if they had jobs, they wouldn't believe anymore in Muhammad, in the Quran, in regards to, you know, what the Quran says, you know, smite the neck of the unbeliever to put them in servitude, have them pay the tax, you know, to you. And it's just, it's like, so then we tested that theory out. In Oklahoma, which is part of America, we had a particular man, he's 30 years old, by the name of Alton Nolan, who was working for a company, and he was trying to proselytize, convert employees there to Islam, and they didn't want to convert, and that caused a lot of problems, and they had to let him go. Now, he had a job, but the way what he was doing created an environment, reports are, that caused him to lose his job. And the people that didn't convert, guess what he did? He attacked two women in the workplace where he had a job, and he cut her head off and killed her in the workplace. Jobs are not the answer. Take a look at this.
Pat, police are filing formal murder charges today in the beheading of a woman at a food distribution center near Oklahoma City. Investigators say a man, formerly named Alton Nolan, attacked two women and beheaded one of them Thursday, shortly after he was fired from Vaughn Foods and Moore. The suspect reportedly converted to Islam in 2011 and renamed himself Jakeem Yisrael. Reports indicate he may have been fired after an argument about Islam.
After conducting interviews with co-workers of Nolan, information was obtained that he recently started trying to convert some of his co-workers to the Muslim religion.
Yisrael's Facebook page shows support for Muslim extremism. One of his posts shows a beheading with a quote from the Quran saying, "I will instill terror into the hearts of unbelievers, smite ye above their necks, and smite off all their fingertips." Nolan faces charges of first-degree murder and assault and battery.
This is amazing. Secretary of State John Kerry, jobs for radical jihadists is not the answer. He had one, he lost it because of his belief system. He wrote on his Facebook, reportedly, "I will instill terror. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all their fingertips off." I mean, think about this. He had a job. We cannot any longer believe what's going on in regards to, what are you even talking about? Americans need jobs. America needs to be employed. We're living off 1970, 80 wages, supposedly, some reports are. And it's like, what are you doing? What is going on right now? But the mindset of the Secretary of State who threatened, and we had that on VFN TV, he said these words to the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He said this. He says, sitting in an interview with him, "You don't want a third intifada, do you? You don't want an intifada, do you? An uprising." We said that as a country. And he went there. You have to understand the cabinet. The cabinet, these folks like Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, the Chief of Staff, Valerie Jarrett, all these people we talk about, this is the president. This is his cabinet. They're there to serve him. They don't do anything outside of his permission. They're the extension of him. That's what the cabinet means. And it's like, why is our president telling the whole world, we want to go help you get jobs? We're believing that you have, at the same time, promoting Islam in America. And then we're seeing in the heart of America, in Oklahoma, where this citizen of America who's just doing her job, she did not want to convert to Islam. She didn't want to convert to Islam. And it cost her her life. He beheaded her in the workplace in America. And you know what? Some people just call that workplace violence. Like in Fort Hood. Do you remember Fort Hood? When the guy stands up and he yells, you know, Ali Akbar, which is the praise of their God in regards to when he begins to fire, while he's in uniform, begins to fire shots from his gun, shooting with your gun that you purchased for him to be able to defend our country in a uniform that he was wearing to be able to defend our country. And he began to shoot our daughters and our sons and our fathers and our mothers in that room. And for some reason, our president called that workplace violence. And it's like he's not even seeing what's going on. And now we're talking about jobs. Well, what was proven right now, this very moment, is there something else going on? And, you know, God says, you know, he will let us know what's happening, and we kind of see what's happening. But what we got to do is, the answer is not political. The answer is not, you know, we need to convince somebody of something. We need to convince God that we're serious about repentance. We got to convince God to say, you know what, God, you know, I've done wrong. We've done wrong as a nation. We've pushed you out of our schools. We pushed you out of our public square. you know, we ridiculed those who stood up for Israel and all these things that America's doing right now. We've turned marriage upside down on its nose. We've turned authority upside down on its nose. We're not even participating in what you gave us, the freedom to be able to participate in elections here. God, we've sinned against you. And you know what? The God that we serve, that's what he wants. This is not sneaking past God. These things are not something that's just sneaking past God. He's aware of all this. He's always in control. The thing is, if we turn our back on God, he lifts his hand off of us. And the hand of God off of us means darkness just kind of comes in and comes from every place you can imagine. But know this, you know, God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? The answer, just in case someone asks you, now you know, is not more jobs. The answer is Jesus Christ. These men and women who have been sold a bill of goods that says if you actually kill someone in the name of your God, you know, Allah, in the direction of Muhammad, through, written in the Quran, that you're going to go to heaven. They need to know that God died for them. He gave his son for them. He died so that they wouldn't have to die. And they were known by our love, not by actually hurting someone or killing someone. And it's not that sometimes, you know, you got to go to war and things happen, but in regards to just showing up in the workplace and saying that this is evangelism by cutting someone's head off and trying to get them to convert, that is straight from the pits of hell. It has nothing to do with God. And we need to say, you know what? They're human beings. We need to let them know, hey, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and begin to pray for them. Just like when I think about Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministries. He was one of these. He was a radical jihadist coming to America to begin to do this very same thing. It was just a normal thing, part of the Muslim Brotherhood. But guess what? He met Christians who knew about love. When he got hurt in a car injury. It was a Christian doctor that took him in. We have details about this on the VFN Torch. He gives his whole testimony. And when he saw the love of God, he didn't see criticism. He didn't see legalism. He didn't see, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this. He just saw somebody loving on him. And it caused him to go back and question Allah. It called him to go back and question Muhammad. And he prayed to Allah. He prayed to Muhammad. And guess what? He said, you know what he said? And of course, we said, what? He goes, nothing. He didn't say anything. And then I prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he answered me, and I gave my life to him. The answer for all of us is Jesus Christ. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about what is this net neutrality. In a couple days, maybe even today, they're going to be voting on this, and it's over 300 and something pages that nobody's read. They haven't even put it out, reports are, and they're going to vote on this thing, and it's going to change the internet and change the ability to track everything and everyone as you know it. We got to pay close attention what's about to happen in America.
So we're actually seeing that jobs are not the answer.
No.
We're seeing that jobs aren't the answer. Right.
Right.
And we obviously knew it wasn't. And sometimes we just go, well, yeah, that's kind of nice. You know, it would be cool for everybody to have jobs.
Right.
But if that's not the answer and your responsibility is to resolve the attack on America and human beings, I mean, we got to really focus here.
Right.
And to me, it looks like there's a global vision. The vision is to have a global economy. You know, these borders, you know, whatever George Soros says, these borders, these walls, these things, you know, the financial advisor, I believe, part of the panel for Hillary Clinton exploratory campaign thing or something. Reports
allegedly.
No, actually, he is. It was financial, something to do with finances on some exploratory thing or something. I think she might be running for an office or something. But from reports are that he was participated in national economies crashing and making money from their monies
falling.
Yeah, falling down. And so here we are on the edge of potentially he could make some money, I guess, on the thing. But when you think about it, that you know, we see most people, I think about Jersey. Hello to everybody out there in New Jersey. Shout out hello to everybody out there and in New York and then the other part of New York. You got the city of New York and you got the rest of New York.
That's right.
The farmland. And that, well, I had a train of thought. It was going here. I don't know where it went to in regards to jobs. And the global aspect of this thing is they're really seeing things as one world. This is an example in New Jersey, in the city as well. And most, quite a few folks, but cities especially.
Mm-hmm.
People grow up their entire life within a couple blocks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, they they have, you know, they eat at the corner store.
That's right.
They, this is true. They go shop at the corner store. They go to work. They catch a train or something to go to work, but they come right back. And that was the big venture, you know, going to have a come right back. And so they spend their whole life within a couple blocks. And you think, well, that's kind of wild. But think about this. It's so funny when people, you know, start having their offices and their homes and stuff. And people start saying, I can't believe that you have an office in your home, which is really wise for a lot of folks. But you look at them, the only thing they're doing differently than the person that has their office and they're working through some telephonics type thing in their home is they're just driving a couple blocks to their office.
Right.
It's not like, it's like
nothing magical.
They see that as adventurous, you know, and they're like, you know, I'm not like you. I'm not homeschooling. I'm putting my kids on a bus and they're going to another place and opening the same book.
It's just
like, but outside of those couple blocks of your life or people's lives is there's a world. And if we don't get a global vision for the church, if we don't get a global view, like the adversary has a global view, that we're global Christians. Think about this. America's population, if you counted every one of us, these rich folks, the richest folks in the world, I believe, our poorest person's richer than 70%. Our poorest person in America is richer than 70% approximately of the entire world's 7-point-something billion folks. But we're less than 5%. We're almost 4% of the world's population, which means we're like 95% of the world is not here. So we're like living this. We're looking quite often at our block. We're shopping at the American corner store. And there's this whole world out here that people that are creating the image and the likeness of God, that God said, you know, I saved you in hopes that you would go tell somebody about me.
Hmm.
He said that you didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go. And he's saving us to go, to be fruitful. You know, yes, he saves us because he wants to be with us forever, but he wants everybody to be with him forever. So we, you know, and it's like we've been stuck in America at the corner store.
Hmm.
We've been shopping and, you know, our, you know, global, our little national store here in D.C. is not producing like it used to produce, and everybody's upset with it. But there's other places to shop. I mean, there's a world out there. And since we're not paying much attention to it, and but people who want to organize the world are paying close attention to it. And they see when they have businesses like, for example, Google has businesses all over the world. Facebook has, you know, businesses all over the world. One particular man, John, in Egypt, because they attributed the overturn of the Egyptian Mubarak leadership to social media and Facebook, he named one of his children Facebook.
Wow.
You know, think about that. This is Facebook and this is Yahoo. And it was Facebook. Didn't call him Yahoo. And so Facebook, you know, Mark Zuckerberg sees that and he goes, you know, we can make some impact here. I mean, you've done some interviews where he's talking about, you know, seeing the impact, and you're seeing, you know, Google confronting China and, you know, having this Hong Kong China battle about what are we going to do. And we're going to be talking about potentially in this particular program about net neutrality. But these are people that are talking about, you know, you got to start seeing this thing as global. And, you know, forget about business. Think about the universe and think about the creator of the universe. You first have to believe that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. But you also have to believe, as Hebrews 11:3-2 says, that he's the creator of the universe. So if our vision is a couple blocks around our home, our little community, our city, our state, even our nation, even our hemisphere, we're missing it. We're totally missing this thing. Because once you start, what you find out, when people start living within a couple blocks of their existence, they start getting a couple blocks of their existence mentality. In other words, everybody is, I mean, if you go to Jersey, you can go from block to block and you can find there's a whole nationality in this block.
Oh yeah.
And you go to the next block and you can have a whole nationality in that block. And it's like, who told? And the thing is, you just start hanging around only people that are just like you.
Just
and all
like
of a sudden
you
start looking at other people as peculiar, when the reality is they're creating the image and likeness of God. in regards to shopping with food, that's pretty cool because John and I have to go from nation to nation.
Oh yes,
you know, it was very good,
very delicious.
Except for the bakery, that was
yeah.
Like,
that
was, what? What was that?
I wish you had video of that day.
That was. I realized you can't run in.
No.
In that. Anyway, so and so, you know, we got to begin to get a global vision because the people who want to rule the world, who want hegemony, you got to hear hegemony crickets. You got to hear it because people still want hegemony means people want to rule the world. Trying to rule the world. You know, somebody says they want Islam wants hegemony. What they're really saying is they want to control you, rule you, and be over you.
Mm-hmm.
But hegemony is so nice. It's a nice word, isn't it?
You just cover it up, masquerade it.
You highly, highly overrate our education. You got to break it down for us, right?
English. English. Help us out. Help
hegemony
us out.
Crickets, they're wanting to rule us. You know, yeah. Hitler wanted hegemony. So many people wanted hegemony. And so you're looking here at when somebody's saying they want to bring jobs for the world, it reminds me of Workers of the World Unite.
Mm.
Y'all remember Acorn, the leader of Acorn, a few years back before our current president was in, and I think he was an attorney for him then or whatever. So organizer, community organizer group, and it was Brothers or something that was running. I can't tell you their names right now, but the thing that they were promoting was Workers of the World Unite. And I personally believe, from what they learned in community organizing, that you can run the world if you can organize the worker. And you can get higher revenue base from union dues than they can get from their taxes. And you can have total authority over union dues versus over taxes because the taxpayer is going to tell you how to actually spend that.
Mm.
But if you just get union dues, you could actually force a new leadership of the world.
Wow.
So they could shift the money. One of the big scary things for America prior to them letting Utah come in as a state, their concerns were about the Mormon organization.
Hmm.
That they were so well organized in regards to you got to be to get to heaven. You know, reports are you got to be able to pay your tithe and to be able to get to these different levels of rewards and all this kind of stuff that they believe.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole segment of that. You can read it. But there's different levels, you know, and that's the reason why they baptize. They baptize the dead because they believe one day they can come down to where the dead are and actually preach the thing. I mean, just, anyway.
Exactly.
But so they were so well organized because if you say, I mean, look what's happening with Islam. You know, if you don't, you know, if you want immediate heaven, you just got to kill somebody. Radical Islam,
mm-hmm.
Not all Islam. And so they were concerned was they were better formed and better organized than the American government. So if they would let the Mormon organization into America, in other words, bring Utah in, because at that time, I believe it was the governor of Utah, the leader of Utah, was the university,
Brigham Young.
And so it was so well structured, and, you know, you had to give your tithe, and you should give your tithe in the church, but in regards to the organization, in regards to Mormonism. And so they were thinking, like, man, they're better. This is prior to the Commerce Clause and these different things they had going on. So these guys were functioning better form finance government than they were. And so they had to change a few things. And so when you look at that, they were organized. They had an organized religion called Mormonism. And they were America was intimidated about them. You talk about people or not. They were intimidated of a religion. Now look at Islam. And according to those that have been in it, who have now serving the Lord and others like Kamal Saleem, says you got to understand it's like 80% political, 20% religion. It's a government.
Mm.
It's organized.
Yeah.
It's a taxation. The whole thing is that kind of thing. And so now you look at, is it any different than workers saying, let's organize. Let's don't tax people. Let's just make them pay union dues and we'll take that money and we'll change the world.
Mm.
And so the chant was, I don't know how close we got here, but the chant was workers of the world. Think about that. Workers of the world unite. And what is John Kerry's office, which was actually handed to him by Hillary Clinton, who was trained up by Saul Alinsky, who wrote the book Rules for Radicals, who was the sister in the context of being mentored along with at different places, Saul Alinsky, President Barack Obama. This is nothing but just organizing. This is community organizing, world organizing 101. And now why they're saying jobs is because if you can actually get the people paying dues or something of that nature in jobs in the Middle East, you can change the government. As a matter of fact, you can rule the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.